Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take it a sip, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, everybody, live from Circa. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. We almost just had to hit the dump button the quickest in the history of VSiN.
Oh, because you were saying some stuff?
Yeah, that show really sneaks up on you, Gil. You know?
Gets in the way of your conversation that you're having.
It really does, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you cleaned up your potty mouth before the show started.
Sorry, my apologies.
Good show. Drew Dinsick will join us pretty soon here, about 15 minutes away. Drew Dinsick from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. We'll talk NFL week 12 gone by, week 13, all of his bets moving forward, including, of course, Thanksgiving and Black Friday games. Which is, it's that kind of week. Didn't you love this week when you were in school, when you were a kid, and it was, did you have half days on Wednesdays?
Oh my God, yeah, so yes, I was having this discussion yesterday with some, none of these kids go to school anymore. That's what I'm learning. Like I believe out here in Nevada, the kids have the whole week off.
Is that right?
Yeah, the whole week.
Oh, these kids. And then it's so like two, soft.
And then it's 2 weeks from Christmas through New Year's. And then a week for spring break. That's what I told them yesterday. I said, I think I had a half day on Wednesday and then Thursday, Friday off.
Listen, I don't want to sound like I'm 1,000 years old to start the show, but I'm 1,000 years old when it comes to this. Yeah, no, it was a great week. The half day on Wednesday was fantastic. Football on Thursday. Of course, we only had two games. Now they got three. They got the fourth on Friday. So we'll talk to Drew about all that. We have Paul Carr talking Champions League coming up on the show. Futak is joining us. Pete Futak. I want to get to the bottom of two things. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Well, three things. One, who's the team that's getting the shaft in the college football playoff? That's a standard weekly question. We've got to ask him that again. How does he feel about it now? Will one loss to Indiana get there, or will they not? Will some other team get skrid at the end? We got to talk Heisman. I may talk Heisman first segment too, because I made a bet yesterday. We'll get to that.
And in involved.
And in the Big 12, who's winning this thing? You know how many Big 12 teams can still get to the Big 12 championship?
How many?
Nine.
Are you serious?
Four are in the driver's seat. Well, two really, but four are ahead of the field. But there's five others that, given a specific scenario, could still get there.
So are we definitely having tiebreakers come into play?
Not definitely. Well, I mean, there's tiebreakers that will come into play, but they could get more convoluted if at least three of the four top teams get lose, which is unlikely, by the way, because everybody's a big favorite among those four except for Iowa State. It's only a three-point favorite against Kansas State. Anyway, we'll get into him with that. And then maybe, I don't know, I love everybody on the show, but Jake Benzequin is joining us. Jake is one of the, in case you missed this yesterday, so there's 54 remaining Circus Survivor entries. Each entry has the intrinsic value currently of $264,000 plus. Is that good? Going into Thanksgiving?
It's pretty
good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Only four people have two entries. Nobody has more than two entries. Only four people have two, which means 46 people have one entry to their name, and four others have two to their name. Jake is one of the ones with one. He is also the co-founder of ProfitX. We had him on a few weeks ago, so we are not a jinx. We've established that. And I think Jake actually put out a poll yesterday on his Twitter. Hey, if you were in my position, would you talk about this stuff, or you kind of sweat it in silence? And sweat it in silence won, and he's still coming on the show. So he doesn't care about his poll results.
I don't know. You sent that to me. I think I'd have to cancel Thanksgiving. Like, literally, at this point, yeah. I would need to be in a bunker by myself.
Here it is right here. Yeah. Jake, not one person in my family is a sports bettor. If you had Circus Sports Survivor entry available this Thanksgiving, like he does, would you sweat in silence or open Pandora's box by talking about the entry? I've truly never been more conflicted. No one talks about this part of the sweat. Sweat in silence won 64.2% to 35.8%. He's still coming on, baby.
But this is, or maybe I read wrong, the sweat in silence around your family, right? Like, this is go through Thanksgiving like you don't have anything massive on the line.
Well,
right?
I guess that's what it means, but what I took it to mean is a general silence of, if you're not going to talk about it on Thanksgiving, like, don't come on a national radio show and talk about it, right? But Jake is coming on anyway, so we look forward to that.
I just can't imagine, like, preparing Thanksgiving and someone has a critique over your potato peeling or something. Like, I'd lose it. I'd absolutely lose it.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for everybody who's still in this, in what was the most carnage-filled Survivor ever through the first 5 weeks. Of course, we start tonight, or today, pardon me, don't even know where I am, with the game last night between the Ravens and the Chargers. I mentioned yesterday, Kelly, I was on the Ravens big. It worked out.
Yeah.
Worked out for me. This was the only game I loved on guessing lines, not this Monday, but last Monday as well. I had guessed Ravens by 4. It was 2, and you said it was moving towards 3 at that time. It ended up settling at 2.5 all week. Ravens get it done 30-23. That last touchdown by the Chargers ends up being cosmetic from 30-16 to 30-23. But make no mistake, the Chargers did lead this game early. They led it 10-0. And then the Ravens just sort of dominated from that point forward. But let me just key in on one thing, because we don't usually give these the guessing lines treatment for the Monday night games. But the one thing I do want to focus in on, a couple things, I'll get to the thing I want to focus in on momentarily. But just generally speaking, this doesn't change my thinking about the Ravens one iota. It doesn't change my thinking about the Chargers one iota. The Ravens still, to me, are the, you know, I have them power ranked 2nd in the NFL behind the Lions. I've had them that way for pretty much the entire season, almost. At least they've been top 3 the entire season. And the Chargers, look, the Chargers are basically the Commodores of the AFC, right? They're the Commanders of the AFC. And what I mean by that is, here are the Chargers' wins this year. And this is part of the handicap. They've beaten the Raiders, the Panthers, the Broncos. Okay, give them the Broncos game, right?
Yep.
The Saints, the Browns, the Titans, and the Bengals. Those are their wins. Their losses? Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Arizona, and Baltimore. So, you know, it kind of, as cleanly as probably possible, just falls on who are you playing with the Chargers in the same way that it does with the Commanders, with the exception, obviously, of losing to Dallas this week. Basically, they beat all the bad teams, and they just fall short against all the good teams. And so, Commodores, by the way, 7-5. The Chargers are 7-4 in the AFC, and right now still inside the playoff picture. But I don't know that it changed anything for you either, did it, with either of these two teams?
No, not at all. I mean, we are very far into the season for me to feel like I still don't have a strong grasp on what this Chargers team is. And like you said, I don't think that got cleared up at all last night. They showed enough fight that I think it helps back up a little bit of what their record is and what they've done. Like you said, they were feisty at least early in this game, but. Then the Ravens in that offense wakes up in the second half, and it looks, when it is rolling and looks good, it looks like the best thing in the NFL.
Yeah, and look, they, I think what else, you know, what are the other two betting implications of this? I think the Ravens solidify themselves. I know the Steelers got to be the favorite in the AFC North for a minute. They always had the gauntlet in front of them. That gauntlet still remains. The Ravens were always, to me, the team that ought to be the favorite. They are once again the favorite in the AFC North. Are the Ravens. It's no indictment of the Steelers. It's just kind of the real pecking order. I think people lost their minds a little bit about the Steelers. And then when it comes to MVP, which we discussed yesterday, where after Saquon's amazing 255-yard rushing day, over 300 yards from scrimmage, there were some folks, but the market moved on Saquon, not only to a prohibitive favorite for offensive player of the year, which he should be, but it also moved him to the third shortest shot on the MVP board, just behind Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson last night, 16 of 22 for 177, 2 touchdowns, no picks. On the season, 27 touchdowns and 3 picks.
It's incredible.
I don't know how you don't give him this at this point. Okay. I really don't.
So I have not gotten involved. Did you bet Purdy? Did you bet Purdy earlier in the year?
Never bet Purdy this
okay.
year.
Okay. So I bet him earlier in the year, and then I had Anthony Richardson preseason. I think I'm going to be getting involved with Lamar at some point here, because you're right. The numbers are absurd. It just feels like we're going to be having the same Nikola Jokic conversation with him of just, we don't want to give him 3 at this point.
Well, but Jokic was 3 in a row, which had historical impact. By the way, now that you asked me the Purdy question, I'm sort of thinking about it. I'm like, did I bet Purdy this year? I can't even remember anymore. Maybe I did. The Jokic conversation was 3 in a row, right? Because
right.
It was Wilt, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell. Do I have those 3 right? Were the only 3 guys to ever have 3 in a row?
I'm pretty sure you were correct.
And so it was this thing of, do we want to put Jokic in that rare air? And so this isn't quite the same thing, But 27 touchdowns and three picks, that's not to mention all of his rushing, right, as well. And I get it. Josh Allen's great. If you take him off the Bills, what are the Bills? So I'm with you on that, too. You can make a case. I'm not saying you can't.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
I mean, it's me, Gil, it's me sitting here saying I would give it to Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen right now. And you, there is no bigger Josh Allen fan.
But I think the Aaron Schatz thing about MVP is going to go to a quarterback and Saquon's going to get or some non-quarterback will get the offensive player of the year. I think I lean towards that thinking. The point I did want to make about this game last night beyond that is I'm just so tired of the anti-analytics crowd that I have to point this out. Last night, the Ravens were 3 of 3 on fourth down. The Chargers were 2 of 2 on fourth down. Now, the reason I bring it up, because not every fourth down is a analytics go, but the anti-analytics community always, when it doesn't work, always blames analytics, right? So last night, 10-7 with 7:48, with, what was it, 10-7 with 2 minutes left in the half, the Ravens have 4th and inches at their own 16. And they get it. They go for it, and they get it. And that leads to a touchdown drive a few, you know, several plays later to put them up 14-10 at that point. Not to mention that they got 2 consecutive fourth down conversions later in the game on a touchdown drive. Chargers got a fourth down conversion earlier and then a fourth down on the garbage drive late. But my point is that the anti-analytics community, you won't hear a peep out of them today about these, right? Because they have set up the conversation that only when they don't work do they get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like it's great to set up a debate or an argument, quote unquote, where you're going to find yourself right 100% of the time because you analyze the results. Right. And by the way, their counter might be like, yeah, well, Gil, the Ravens have Derrick Henry. They didn't run Derrick Henry on the 4th and inches from their own 16. That was Mark Andrews. So it gave you plenty of opportunity to have your retroactive analysis of that kind of thing. So to the anti-analytics community, that game, that outcome of that game doesn't happen unless the Ravens do what they did yesterday.
Oh, probably. And man, I was uncomfortable with some of it. It was very aggressive by John.
I just somebody has to point that out.
Yeah.
That they don't say anything when it works out this way. But oh, chirpy when it doesn't. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. From expert breakdowns of the week's biggest matchups to deep dives into betting strategies and trends, VSiN delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the edge. Right now, you can check out articles like, check this out, Kelly, Greg Peterson's College Basketball Best Bets. That alone should take you to VSiN.com. Yeah. Adam Burke's Week 14 College Football Rankings Projection. We'll get another iteration of that tonight. And then Toledo Akron Match and Preview. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets, Steve Mackinnon's NBA Analytics Report, and Jonathan Davis's Top NHL Player Props. You get access to everything we do, including these exclusive articles for only $60 until May 1st, 2025 with our Black Friday special. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Just want to read a couple here. This is from Russ Harden. We were the same way back in the day, half a day on Wednesday, Thanksgiving week. Then was there a better day in your 20s than Wednesday night at the bars? Used to be one of my favorite days of the year. Well, that makes one of us, Russ.
No, it's still one of the best. Yeah, in your 20s, for sure. That's when you catch up with everybody from, like, high school, college.
What's with Wednesdays, though? Why Wednesdays?
Like, because everybody's in town. Like, all right, if you're at home for Thanksgiving, everybody's back home, so you catch up with some people from high school.
Okay. D-Gen Southern Gent, while perusing this week's NFL slate, I noticed a crazy scheduling quirk with Carolina. Panthers don't play a road game in November, and between November 3rd and December 29th, they play one road game. I feel like that's a scheduling advantage no one is talking about. I'll tell you another one, D-Gen Southern Gent, is the Eagles don't have to jump on a plane anymore the rest of the regular season.
Oh, that's nice.
I think their only two road games are in Baltimore and Washington. I don't know what these NFL players do on short trips like that, but I'm thinking it's not a plane from Philly.
That's a great question.
Anyway, they don't have to, is the point. I mean, so there's no big travel for the Eagles the rest
Show
of the
me the luxury bus setup. That's what I want to see. You're right.
Jack Cannon, I'm a Ron Burgundy through this. Jack Cannon, could this be the worst wager ever? Last week, Dave Portnoy, Barstool, bet $100,000 on Alabama to win the national championship, pay off $1.1 million after Saturday's loss. He essentially lost $100,000 on games that won't be played. Yeah, I don't know if he notices $100,000, though. Does he?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Made headlines. We just talked about it.
Let's bring Drew in here. Drew Dinsick joins us Whale Capper, Whale underscore Capper on Twitter, and of course, the co-host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports, joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drew, before we get to your wisdom, Kelly used to work in South Florida. Explain what you did in South Florida. What was your...
I did a afternoon radio show on ESPN West Palm there, and then we also, I was the executive producer for the local sports department for WPTV News Channel 5. So you might have seen a high school highlight of Lamar Jackson going around last
night.
Here's
a play of the game, Jackson sprinting around the pocket. What to do?
Oh, now you can talk, Kelly.
Oh, there we go. Throw on the brakes. There he goes. Wells Dusenberry shooting it. He's been on the network before. Emerson Lazio was calling it. We've had him on the show before.
Was
anchoring that night. So, yeah.
Wow.
The old Boynton breaks from Lamar Jackson.
Would you have imagined he would have been this good?
At that time, just if everybody remembers his early college days, it was, okay, he's special on a football field. Can he play quarterback, though? I mean, we covered him in high school. He was overthrowing wide receivers by 20 yards. It was a problem.
People were still doubting him at Louisville, for God's sakes. And, of course, the NFL draft doubted him when he went 32nd. Drew is here. Yeah. Drew, that game last night, I'll ask you what we talked about. Change your opinion at all on either team, the Ravens or the Chargers?
A little bit on the Chargers. Or not changed opinion, but sort of crystallized my opinion of that defense, I think, which is... they're completely capable of snuffing out the lesser quarterbacks and the lesser offenses in the NFL. And then when they come up against a dynamic two-headed attack, it gets a little bit different. Certainly the fact that they were not fully healthy did not help them. But, this is now two in a row where they've gone up against the elite top five quarterbacks in the NFL and given up 30 points. So I think we got our answer on exactly how to view the Chargers defense. Chargers offense is exactly who we thought they were. Good offensive line, but young and still prone to making some backbreaking mistakes, via penalty mostly. Good quarterback, but not elite. And pass catchers that are wildly suspect. And I think if there was not a healthy amount of handsiness from the secondary from the Ravens, I'm not even sure it was this close. So the Chargers are kind of, they like are the quintessential AFC wildcard team where, best of luck against the elites in the playoffs, guys.
Yeah, I think most people think that. I want to rewind to one thing you said in there, though, and I agree with you. Like Quentin Johnston, three drops last night.
Oh,
three.
Gosh.
I mean,
one of them that basically ended the game for the Chargers.
Yeah. You said something about Justin Herbert in there that I don't want to let slide. You said good quarterback, not elite. You believe that?
Yeah, I think you can squarely there are a lot of people who kind of go out of their way to kind of make a case that he should be included in the same breaths of the Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrows of the world. And I think it's pretty clear he's on the next tier. And that's not bad. I mean, much better place to be in than, the Giants. there's plenty of other franchises who would take not elite quarterback play if it looked like Justin Herbert. But that said, I think I guess the next time he goes toe-to-toe with, one of the top guys and really outperforms them, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we did our quarterback rankings early in the season. Maybe even before the season started.
This was a conversation.
And this
we
was a
had
conversation.
Pre-season. Yeah.
And I put him at eighth. And my And my comment.
Put it in pen.
I should have put him in. But my comment was, right, he's eighth. My comment was he's about a year away. I said this exactly. You were about a year away from this dropping more. And what I meant by that was there was a lot of games when he had, Eckler and Allen and Williams, and I know, maybe that hasn't aged well for any of those three guys, but I think it's a better outfit than he has around him now in terms of skill position players. My comment was he got them to a lot of close finishes, and it was a lot of it was him. But when they got to those last drives, he was often poor on those last drives. And you can't have that happen over and over again before you start to say, okay, this is kind of who he is. Now, I will say this. I said he was a year away from dropping from that. I actually think better of him now than I did then. Like, I think, like last night, I can't blame any of that on Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, I thought, was pretty awesome last night. And I think he's been pretty awesome most of the year. So I do think that, would you allow this, that even if he is the next tier, the potential for elite is right there. Like, he does have all the tools.
I guess but at this point with what you're paying him and the way that they have elected to kind of build the roster, I don't know that you're ever going to see him with the tools that would take him to that level.
Maybe.
And I think, I guess kind of my, and I get what your point was about preseason, and I felt the same way, like going in rating him at the, in the 6 to 10 range, like that was correct. Everybody who was kind of putting him eighth, like you were right. There was a trap door, and the trap door was largely because I think in his early part of his career, he was propped up by the kind of tail end of a great Keenan Allen career. And, you know, that, and it made it look a little bit better than he was early. And then even more than that, a lot of the stuff that he was using to kind of really kind of the eye popping stuff, the wow, how did that happen? It was, you know, it was not sustainable. You know, it was long third down conversions. It was CJ Stroud-esque, honestly. That hasn't really gone away. That's just kind of, you know, you looked at the numbers, you looked at the data, and you're like, I mean, it's good, but like, we've never seen a quarterback sustain these types of rates on these, you know, third and forevers. If he does it, I guess that's who he is and he's good. But, you know, there was a sincere belief that that could just come to an end. And if he's not getting those long, you know, third down conversions and all, then what is he? Because he's not a guy that's necessarily capable of crossing the street, 30 times to get to the end zone. And I think we've kind of answered that he is still a volatile proposition. Like, he is capable of delivering an absolute dime on 4th and 9, you know, when the game is, you know, already kind of out of reach. But at the same time, like, you know, when you need him to, I don't know, he made a great pass to Quentin Johnson and Quentin Johnson didn't catch it. And that would have potentially been the game tying drive for the Chargers. And then they give up the big 51 yard touchdown. So, you know, a lot of this is a little bit of kind of results based bias, I suppose, but it can't be an accident that every time he goes up against a Mahomes and Allen, a Jackson, a Burrow, you beat Burrow, but you know, that was mostly I feel like about the Bengals defense. And again, like a pretty spectacular run to cap it for the Chargers on their 10th opportunity to win that game. It's more fragile. Whereas with Mahomes, you know, even if they're having a bad day, if they have the ball last, you kind of assume he's going to win.
He just never catches the criticism, right? Like what you said, Gil, is almost, I agree with. I think this year I almost look at him higher than I have before. For all these quarterbacks that catch so much heat, he's never one of them when he's never accomplished anything in the playoffs. And I just agree. I think we need to start thinking about him a little bit differently. We should have a couple years ago.
Whereas Tua, they were drafted back to back, right? Tua, who is wildly accurate.
Mm.
It's the opposite of what you're saying. I'm not saying he's as good as Justin Herbert, but what I'm saying is any criticism that can possibly be thrust on him is thrust on
him.
Right. There is that. I do think Justin Herbert is a lot more elusive in the pocket this year, has a little more run to him, so I like that as well. All of Drew's Week 13 picks in the NFL on the other side. It's a numbers game at the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you heard about this? Call it all VSiN poker players. VSiN has partnered with Poker Now, and together we're hosting an online poker tournament this Sunday, December 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can win a golden passport for a free seat in the largest poker free roll ever, the World Poker Tour's $5 million free roll in Las Vegas. Later in December, visit VSiN.com/poker and register today for your chance to win. That's VSiN.com/poker. VSiN's Dave Tooley, Adam Burke, and Scott Seidenberg have already committed to play in this.
Big names. Big names. I might be there too, Gil. Tooley, I might be there.
Tooley, Burke, Seidenberg. Poker. Like it. Are you going to do it?
Yeah. I might be there Sunday night.
Kelly Bidley likes himself a little poker.
I used to play a ton of poker, yeah.
Kelly Bidley likes himself a little blackjack, a little poker. What else are you playing in these days?
No, I mean, not nearly as much poker these days.
Play video poker as well,
though? Yeah, video poker, blackjack, yeah.
You're that kind of guy.
Those are more like recreational. I have a cocktail in my hand gambling, though.
Always with a cocktail. We get tweets of beating the book. Michael Burns, Wednesday before Thanksgiving is AKA Skanksgiving, he says. If you know, you know. Best listeners in the game, everybody. Best listeners in the game.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that far last segment, but yeah. I don't know if you can also, you can't also say that and then write, if you know, you know, right?
If you know, you know. Roger Jones tweets it. Remember, Roger Jones was the guy yesterday who was like, hey, Gil, you watched that Steve McNair thing over the weekend, didn't you? Oh, right? Without even asking me, he creeped me out a little bit because I did watch the Steve McNair, the Air McNair documentary.
What's he got today? Did you see it at the gas station or something?
He tweets in, he goes, Kelly, need your advice here. Should I lean into the stalker vibe as of yesterday and say that, Gil, I checked your account and yes, you had a Purdy ticket? Should I say that? This is from One Loss from Retirement. I'm going to have to heavily edit One Loss from Retirement's tweet. He says, I know Drew isn't, insert, crapping on Herbert because Johnston can't catch and a blank guy named Ladd is his number one target. Let's give the guy another year under Harbaugh to get some pass catchers.
Let's keep giving him another year, Gil. Let's just keep giving him another year. This guy, by the time he's 38, he's going to be great. Watch out.
And Rich PSM, I'm not for or against analytics. I'm for considering who you are and who you're playing. You can't give equal weight to a call versus Kansas City and versus the Giants, and that's not even a slight difference. Rich, I'm right with you. I'm with you, but that's not my point. My point is that the anti-analytics folks are completely results-oriented. They love to chirp about it when, first of all, the anti-analytics community has no clue what is analytics-based and what isn't. That's the first layer, right? So they just catch all with analytics. And here's their catch-all. When something doesn't work that's out of their construct of how you play football, then they go nuts. But when it does work, right, 14-8, down to 6 on the twos, going for fourth and short 3 times yesterday for the Ravens, you don't hear a peep. Not a peep. That's the point. Ladies and gentlemen, back for another segment, as he always is, Drew Dinsick at whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. All right, Drewski.
By the way, I'm shocked that people who aren't intellectually honest are confirming their priors only with their platforms. This is very surprising.
I knew you'd see it my way. All right, let's get to week 13, which obviously starts. Let's start with Thanksgiving and Friday. Ooh. as a quartet of games. And obviously, from a fan's perspective, these are not, let's say, the most sexy games of all of them, but there are spreads, and so there is betting. Do you like any of these?
Standalone game is a standalone game.
Yes, it is.
I got a couple plays. I think that 10.5. I've capitulated a lot about my Lions number. I've upgraded their defense to being top 10, despite not really understanding how they're getting away with this. And I still can't get to 10.5 for this game against the Bears. My number is 8.9. So 10.5 for me in pocket with the early game there. And I think the total also is quite high. 48.5 is screaming high. I make this more like 44.5. So probably going to end up with a little bit of under in pocket as well. Not sure exactly how to take that on. But, you know, you got a Bears team that played their divisional opponents quite close twice last year with a worse team, as far as I can tell you. So I think that should be a competitive opener. And then nothing in Dallas Giants, although the fact that this Dallas team could be more than a field goal favorite against anyone kind of baffles me. The nightcap is the fun one, obviously. I played some under here largely because I think that the threes are not going to show for the Packers. It looked with a little bit of early market momentum for the Dolphins yesterday morning. I was kind of dreaming of getting a flat three, didn't ever show up. So just gave up and played the under there. I think the real feel 6-degree temperatures at Lambeau Fields are going to have a little bit of an impact on offensive efficiency in this one. You know, this is whenever you look at the weather and you see 6-degree, you know what I think of, Gil? That sounds like dolphin weather to me.
That was exactly my handicap yesterday, Drew. And I did bet the Packers -3. That was exactly the biggest thing for me. I was like, Tom Coughlin's cheeks. I get it. He wasn't the coach of the Dolphins, but Tom Coughlin's cheeks is the first thing I think of. And then I think about the Dolphins in cold weather. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you guys saying Tua can't play well in the cold? Have we talked about this before?
We have not specifically.
He has had okay games in the cold, but he has also had games where he was non-functional, most notably last year's playoff game against the Chiefs. Now, granted, that was like probably real feel -26, but still it was does not cover himself in glory. And you know, it just like people There are ways to handicap where you are just flat out numbers based and you are beating the market, and that's fine. But the qualitative layer of stuff like a team from Miami going to play in 6 degrees matters. It does. I will go to that qualitative, a qualitative layer like the Giants were just told by their coach that they're quitting on the season because they're starting Tommy DeVito. That matters. Like, it impacts effort. It does. Yeah. You're putting your body on the line. Like, you know, there's real risks to your health and long, you know, your longevity on this earth. And if you're not going out there to win, it changes your interest in playing hard. So, you know, there are funny things that matter a lot this time of year when it comes to NFL betting. And I think in general, under 47 is the fun angle to attack there. And I guess I'll just mention, as much as, you know, it's fun to knock on the Dolphins and Tua for, and the offense is really kind of the focus of that part of the handicap there. The Dolphins defense is playing really, really well right now. They have come completely out of the clouds and are kind of surpassing my wildest expectations of what to expect right now. Eighth right now in EPA per play allowed when you remove turnovers. I did not see that coming. And they're relatively healthy. So I think they can keep a little bit of a lid on the scoring there, which helps me into this 47.
Anything Raiders Chiefs 13-point spread on Friday?
I would take your money that you want to bet on that game, and I would bet a little Pat Mahomes MVP. Pat Mahomes MVP.
Yes,
that's the Black Friday special, Gil.
That's the 12-1 special. Yeah.
If you want to tell me that there is not a dead similarity, and I get it. Like, I'm not pattern betting here. I'm not trying to just relive history. But Pat Mahomes is literally walking in the footsteps of Lamar Jackson's MVP from last season. His defense carried him to a bunch of early season wins when his numbers really didn't support anywhere close to an MVP candidacy. And now he's putting together better performances while the defense is slipping a little bit. And I think the message is pretty clear from that Carolina game. Like, the Chiefs offense needs to go out and score 30 if they're going to continue to win games. The rest of their schedule is very, very soft. They have a number of teams that are not playing for anything and a number of teams where they have a huge advantage in standalone games. And if you're winning your standalone Christmas Saturday and your standalone Christmas Day game against the likes of the Texans and the Steelers, teams that I think we all agree have enormous questions right now, like, you know, beat those teams, get to 16 wins. And I think there is a realistic chance that all of the other quarterbacks will have accrued losses to good teams or just have off days. And if Mahomes is playing clean football, you know, this is conditional on him continuing to throw touchdowns, you know, have, you know, sort of these 3-0 type of games. I think he's real to come into that that award market.
Let me step in because we have to do this rapid fire because I want to get some of your Sunday thoughts. But the real quick retort to that is I'm not even going to get into the other players' candidacies. Lamar with 27 touchdowns and 3 picks. Sure. I'm not going to get into that.
He deserves it, but
yeah,
he's also going to have a tough time getting. He doesn't have a clean path into the playoffs.
If the Chiefs go 15-2, is it more likely, in your opinion, that Mahomes gets MVP or that Andy Reid gets Coach of the Year?
And Mahomes MVP.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely. I think Dan Campbell has got the trump card over Andy Reid in every which way. And most notably, he's had an arc. Andy Reid has already won the award. Like, there are a lot of things that I think kind of point to Reid's pretty much. Reid needed 17-0. I think it's over for him.
Favorite play on Sunday or Monday, sir, is?
I don't have a ton. I bet the Rams at 2.5, and I bet the Colts at 3. Everything Sunday, Monday looks pretty darn tight to me. Cleveland on Monday is actually a fun bet as well. I make that well under 3.
Yeah, we're going to talk Survivor with Jake Bensequin coming up. He's one of the 54, he has one of the 54 remaining entries. And I'm right with you because there's the Thanksgiving, there's the Thursday, Friday portion of this week. He's got to get through that, which I think he has set up. I would assume he has set up. But when it comes to Sunday, Monday, which is what, 13B, if you will, when it comes to Circus Survivor, God help everybody. Absolutely agree with what you're saying. Always interesting, Drew. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, best luck, yes.
You too. Drew Dinsick, everybody, at Whale_Capper, Deep Dive, and Bet the Edge podcast. We'll come back. A little Heisman talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Who doesn't love Christmas? Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle. Save 50% off site-wide during their cyber sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early. Score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, Omaha Steaks consistently delivers the world's best steak experience, and their gifting experts have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide during the cyber sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off, I should say, with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Trip Tepper, he says the Big 12 champ isn't guaranteed a bid. It's top five conference champs. Yes, you are correct, Trip. By the letter, we should be accurate. You are correct. By letter, Big 12 is not guaranteed a bid with their champion, but you have four that get byes, and then the fifth conference champion that is the highest ranked beyond that gets in. So that is where we get to what we got to. Shooter McGamblin, The Saquon Barkley discourse is driving me insane. We saw Saquon on the Giants. They were not good. A running back will not make a bad team good, but they can make a good team really good. By the way, Tracy Jr. is averaging 5 yards a carry while making $12 million less than Saquon. I hope you heard me talking about this yesterday, Shooter, because I kind of said all of that. That Giants fans either way are probably, you know, the average Giants fan is still going to be sort of melancholy about it and blue about it, as is their owner, obviously, John Mara. He's on record as having said that preemptively. But yes, the Giants would only be incrementally better with him, most likely. I agree with you on that. I talked about that yesterday. And I also, I have to say it again, you can kill the Giants for letting go of Saquon, but the real Giants issue was the fact that they committed the money to Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. and then every decision thereafter fell into place. So you can't really take the Saquon thing in a vacuum. And so that's, I think, what people are missing in the conversation.
The other part is, if this is coming from a Giants fan too, you might have the same exact problem on your hands again, just not with a running back. I know you're talking about Tracy here, but a wide receiver in Malik Nabers, right? But great young wide receivers don't make bad teams into great teams. It's the same thing you're talking about here with running backs.
Malik's handling it well, though, isn't he?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
See that post game?
Part of what he said, I completely agree with. We all want to get excited about DeVito. There's a drop off from Daniel Jones, whether you like it or not.
Not the quarterback's fault. Yeah, he's not handling well. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Futak joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak, FIUTAK. He is the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, always a pleasure to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm fine. Let me go back to what your first tweet here on the Big 12 champion. I'm not sure what your discussion exactly was, but I will throw out a scenario that might not be all that crazy. Let's say Clemson gets annihilated by South Carolina. Like, South Carolina is good. Clemson has a problem, and South Carolina just goes 38-14 on Clemson. Let's say Syracuse beats Miami. Clemson's in the ACC championship, and let's say it beats SMU close. Meanwhile, Tulane annihilates Memphis, destroys Army in the AAC championship. There's an outside shot that in the final college football playoff rankings, a four-loss Clemson team or a three-loss Clemson team could be ranked lower than Tulane in this. And in that case, yeah, you would have a Power Four team that would be left out of this.
Yep, it's possible. It is possible. Nothing is a guarantee. Absolutely right. We should be accurate about it.
The Big 12, my point being, the Big 12 is pretty much a lock.
It's
pretty much Big 12 champion's going to get in. The ACC champion's the one to worry about.
That's right. It is. I'll say it again. I still think the Big 12 champ is getting in, but we should be accurate. It's not worded that way, right? It's a fifth highest ranked conference champ that gets in. I just want to be clear about that. Okay. Tomato, tomato. Because what I want to get to first is Ashton Jeanty, speaking of a Mountain West champion. Heisman, you have a Heisman vote. Let me ask you this. Travis Hunter is minus 800 to win the Heisman. First of all, you agree that that number is out of whack, yes?
Well, the problem with this is it's a popularity contest. It's like he can't go out there and actually physically win it. People have to choose him. So it's trying to gauge the market. And the problem with Ashton Janti is, who's seen him play? I mean, the Mountain West games just are kind of on funky times. You hear about the hear about him. He's great when he plays. His numbers are out of this world. But the problem is when you have, and I'm not this guy usually, but when you have ESPN or Fox, whoever has the Colorado game, pumping up that Colorado thing all the time, it's right in your face. It's a big PR machine because Colorado's so popular. So as a Heisman voter, my problem with Travis Hunter is he's not their best player. To completely to your point before, you were talking about, does Saquon Barkley make a team? Does Malik Nabers make a team? Travis Hunter's good. The problem with this argument is, I don't mean to be dogging anybody, Shedeur Sanders is that team. He's having a phenomenal year. He is the best player on that team, and yet he's probably not even close to winning the Heisman, at least according to his own coach and father, compared to Travis Hunter. So the Travis Hunter PR machine is kicking in big time, and there's just no one else out there who's really making a big statement right now, even Janti, who's been fantastic.
If you had a vote today, it's not today. The vote is not today. You have a vote. But if the vote were today, you had to submit today, who do you think you're voting for?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's a horrible answer. But the problem is for me, I always really pretentiously say, who is the guy? Who is the signature player of the college football season? A combination MVP, most outstanding player. Who is the guy who's making the season? Like, last year, a bigger argument could have been made for Jalen Milroe, because what he did in the win over Georgia, getting Alabama to the SEC championship, getting him to the college football playoff. I mean, Jaden Daniels is obviously amazing numbers-wise, but Jalen Milroe was more important. So it was Daniels, but it was still, there was a case to be made there. There's nobody out there right now who you can say, yeah, this is the MVP of the college football season. So right now, I guess Hunter's just been that good. But again, to me, it's Shedeur Sanders, but it all depends on whether or not he gets Colorado to the Big 12 championship and the college football playoff.
Pete, if my position is, if Ashton Janti doesn't get it this year, we're never, ever giving it to a running back ever again. And the only
unless
way
we... I know you dug me for this, but unless he's on a Power 5 team.
Well, that's what
if
I said earlier.
For Alabama.
That's what I said earlier. Unless some running back for Alabama has this unbelievable season, and then you give it to him over Christian McCaffrey again, right? Which is also bunk. But that's the thing. You have these biases are so East Coast to West Coast at that time. These biases are so like entrenched that I'm just saying if Ashton Janti's season, we put it up, it's better than Derrick Henry's. I know he's not playing in as big of a conference with the same competition. We were throwing up names of Barry Sanders earlier and Ricky Williams. Like, that's the list of what he's on. I just feel like this has to be the year where Heisman voters say, you know what? It's the one year we get to give it to a non-quarterback because there's no quarterback that's doing something out of control spectacular. So we have to give it to a non-quarterback. At least let's do it this year. And maybe Ashton Janti ought to be that guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against that. I mean, the other problem is the Power 5 snobbery of it, which, you know, again, I mean, to the MVP point, I would make the argument that Derrick Henry, from an MVP standpoint, way deserved it over McCaffrey. So, like, they won the national championship and he got him to the SEC.
And none of you all watched any Stanford games that year. We forget about what it was like 9 years ago. None of y'all watched him.
No, but he was amazing. I mean, McCaffrey was, but again, it was Derrick Henry. You know, remember the name the quarterback in Alabama that year. They didn't have a Tua or a superstar quarterback that year. So anyway. But, the part of the thing is, are you doing it against Utah State and San Diego State? Or are you doing it against Georgia and, you know, Tennessee? I mean, that's pretty much the debate here. And that's, again, it's a popularity contest.
All right.
So it's just whoever, you know.
Pete, I hope you do the right thing and you vote for Georgia. Okay, now let's move on real quick. Who's the team that's going to get the shaft in the college football bracket, in your opinion? Rapid fire here. Who's the team that'll be on it?
ACC championship loser is probably going to be the one. I'm not buying into this idea that the three-loss SEC team gets in quite yet. I just think the ACC championship loser is probably going to be out, but you're going to see a bunch of SEC people whining that their teams are not in, even though they have two or three losses.
Oh, the whining will absolutely be there. Okay.
It's not deserved. They should be out. I'm good with that, yeah.
Texas A&M have a chance to beat Texas outright this weekend?
I can't go against it. This has been my call since January that Texas A&M wins this. Then it gets really funky and fun with all the permutations and stuff, the SEC championships. I assume Georgia's in no matter what. And then the Texas A&M winner, they're playing the Texas A&M winner. But yeah, absolutely. I'm not buying Texas. They're fast. They're good. They've got a lot of athleticism, but I'm not buying Texas being this be all end all.
All right.
That's a team that's not really beaten anybody yet.
Last thing, if I came to you from the future after Saturday and I said to you, hey, there was one other major upset, not major, but you know, there was one other big upset in college football this weekend, it would be
Syracuse over Miami. Miami's always just kind of begging to get tagged. They come up big late, but in Syracuse, this might be one of those games where the Orange screw everything up.
Peter Futak, everybody, at Pete Futak. Thank you, Pete.
There you go.
CollegeFootballNews.com is where you can check him out. I don't think I swayed him. I don't think I did.
Yeah.
No. We'll come back.